ಯಸ್ತ್ರ ಚಾಸ್ಮ ಹರೇಭಿರಕ್ಷಿತಾ ವಿಷಾಣ್ಮಹಾಗ್ನೇ ಪುರುಷಾದ ದರ್ಶನಾದ್ ಅಸತ್ಸಭಾಯಾ ವನವಾಸ ಕೃಚ್ಛ್ರಥ ಮೃಧೇ ಮೃಧೇನೇಕ ಮಹಾರಥಾಸ್ತ್ರತೋ ಧೌಣ್ಯಸ್ತ್ರ ಚಾಸ್ಮ ಹರೇಭಿರಕ್ಷಿತಾ ವಿಷಾಣ್ಮಹಾಗ್ನೇ ಪುರುಷಾದ ದರ್ಶನಾದ್ ಅಸತ್ಸಭಾಯಾ ವನವಾಸ ಕೃಚ್ಛ್ರಥ ಮೃದೇ ಮೃದೇನೇಕ ಮಹಾರಥಾಸ್ತ್ರತೋ ಧೌಣ್ಯಸ್ತ್ರ ಚಾಸ್ಮ ಹರೇಭಿರಕ್ಷಿತಾ ಷಾಣ್ಮಹಾಗ್ನೇ ಪುರುಷಾದ ದರ್ಶನಾತ್ ದ್ರೌಣ್ಯಸ್ತ್ರ ಚಾಸ್ಮ ಹರೇಭಿರಕ್ಷಿತಾ ವಿಷಾಣ್ಮಹಾಗ್ನೇ ಪುರುಷಾದ ದರ್ಶನಾದ್ ಅಸತ್ಸಭಾಯಾ ವನವಾಸ ಕೃಚ್ಛ್ರಥ ಮೃದೇ ಮೃದೇನೇಕ ಮಹಾರಥಾಸ್ತ್ರತೋ ಹರೇಭಿರಕ್ಷಿತ ಮಾತಾಜಿ ವರ್ಡ್ ಟು ವರ್ಡ್ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್ ವಿಷಾದ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಪಾಯ್ಸನ್ ಮಹಾಗ್ನೇಹೇ from the great fire purusha ada the man eaters darshanat by combating asat vishayas sabaya assembly vanavasa exiled to the forest krichrata sufferings mrade mrade again and again in battle aneka many maharatha great generals astratah weapons drauni the son of dronacharya astratah from the weapon of cha and asma indicating past tense hare o my lord abhirakshita protected completely translation and purport by his divine grace AC Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada translation my dear krishna Your lordship has protected us from a poisoned cake, from a great fire, from cannibals, from the vicious assembly, from sufferings during our exile in the forest, and from the battle where great generals fought. And now you have saved us from the weapon of Ashwatthama. Purport. The list of dangerous encounters is submitted herein. Devaki was once put into difficulty by her envious brother. Otherwise, she was well. But Kunti Devi and her sons were put into one difficulty after another for years and years together. They were put into trouble by Duryodhan and his party due to the kingdom. And each and every time the sons of Kunti were saved by the Lord. Once Bhima was administered poison in a cake. Once they were put into the house made of shellac and set afire. And once Draupadi was dragged out and attempts were made to insult her by stripping her naked in the Vishesh assembly of the Kurus. The Lord saved Draupadi by supplying an immeasurable length of cloth. And Duryodhan's party failed to see her naked. Similarly, when they were exiled in the forest, Bhima had to fight with the man-eater demon, Hidimba Rakshasa, but the Lord saved him. So it was not finished there. After all these tribulations, there was a great battle of Kurukshetra, and Arjuna had to meet such great generals as Drona, Bhishma and Karna, all powerful fighters. And at last, even when everything was done away with, there was the Brahmastra released by the son of Dronacharya to kill the child within the womb of Uttara, and so the Lord saved the only surviving descendant of the Kurus, Maharaj Parikshit. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namavo Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaurabhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we are reading this very beautiful section in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Queen Kunti's prayers. So we see this Queen Kunti's prayers is one of the first series of Bhagavatam classes given by Srila Prabhupada. The Bhagavata Dharma discourses, Prabhupada gave these classes in Delhi. So they are very special prayers in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Queen Kunti, if we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Queen Kunti comes practically only in this chapter, in the first canto. We hardly find mention of Queen Kunti in the second canto, third canto, fourth canto. In the tenth canto, she comes in few places, just in few verses. In the Kurukshetra solar eclipse when Kunti meets Vasudev, that time Kunti is inquiring from Vasudev. So Queen Kunti's presence in the Srimad Bhagavatam is mainly in this chapter. And in this chapter also mainly Queen Kunti's prayers come. So Queen Kunti's prayers, we can say they are like a sweet rice. So when you are sitting down to take a lunch prasadam in the temple, suppose they are serving the Mahaprasad, say sweet rice or rabdi. So Mahaprasad sweet rice is something devotees have prepared with a great devotion, with the best of the ingredients. And it's so nice to taste the sweet rice offered to Krishna. But if we think about the effort involved in making that sweet rice, who are all the persons involved in making that sweet rice? The first thing is the person who is in front of you is serving the sweet rice. And then, say the devotees in the backup room who are transferring the sweet rice, the pujari who offered the sweet rice, and the matajis who actually cooked that sweet rice, and the devotees who brought the ingredients for the sweet rice, the milk and the rice and the sugar and the different dry fruits, and the devotees who supplied, who donated money to procure those ingredients, and those farmers who are actually growing the rice, protecting the field from the different animals, and those milkmen who are actually maintaining the cows, feeding the cows with the different fodder, those people who are growing fodder for the cows. So if we think, like, there are so many people involved in making that sweet rice. Although right in front of us we see only that sweet rice prasadam, but behind that, so many people are there and huge effort is involved actually. So similarly, so these prayers which we are seeing in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in this chapter of Queen Kunti, this is like a sweet rice, but to come to the point of offering these prayers, like what all Queen Kunti has gone through to her life. Like she has gone through so many situations throughout her life, and in every situation, she tried to remember Krishna, she followed the path of Dharma, and so many difficulties after difficulties, and after going through series of continuous difficulties throughout her life, and finally the result of that struggle of trying to remember Krishna in every situation, and the result of that struggle is finally coming out in the form of this final end product, that is this prayers of Queen Kunti, which is like the sweet rice actually. So many times when we are eating that sweet rice, seldom we think about the effort involved, the people involved in making that sweet rice. So similarly, when we go through these prayers of Queen Kunti, seldom we actually think about the life of Queen Kunti. What she went through in her life, and because these prayers are, they are not simply some poetic expressions. When she is offering these prayers, she actually means each and every word of it. She is actually pouring her emotions in these prayers. So therefore, we see that let us also think about, like, what were the effort involved, like what Queen Kunti went through in her life. And because of that, she could actually ultimately offer these prayers in the Bhagavatam. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find only the prayers of Queen Kunti. And in the Mahabharata, we see the whole life of Queen Kunti. So Srimad Bhagavatam contains the sweet rice, but Mahabharata contains the entire process behind in making that sweet rice in the form of the life of Queen Kunti. So in the Mahabharata, in the very beginning, Queen Vyasadeva tells about the purpose of Mahabharata. He says, Vistaram Kuru Vamshasya Gandhari Dharma Shilatam Kshattu Prajnam Dhritik Kuntya Samyak Vaipayano Bravit. So Vyasa has written the Mahabharata to describe the greatness of the Kuru Vamsha, to describe the Dharma Shilata of Gandhari, to describe the wisdom of Vidura, and to glorify the Dhriti of Kunti, to describe the steadiness of Kunti, or the determination of Kunti, or the perseverance shown by Queen Kunti. Because she has shown great perseverance, although going through difficulties right from the birth till the last point actually. And then of course, Vasudevasya Mahatmyam Pandavanam cha Satyatam Durvritam Dhartarashtranam Bhagavan Rishihi. Vyasa also described the divinity of Krishna, the goodness of the sons of Pandu and the evil conduct of the sons of Dhritarashtra. So when we talk about Dhriti, determination, there are three levels of determination. Determination of an Adama, Madhyama and Uttama. Prarabhyate na khalu vigna bayena nichaihi. The low class people, they don't even start a work fearing the obstacles involved which will come in the course of that work. They don't even start the particular task fearing the obstacles. Prarabhya vigna nihata viramanti madhyaha. The middle class or intermediate class of people, they will start a task, but when they go through difficulties, they will stop that effort. Vignair muhur muhurapi parihanya manaha prarabdha muttama guna na parityajanti. The Uttama class of people, despite going through repeated difficulties, despite going through repeated failures, they never give up that effort in that particular task. These are general three levels of determination. This can be applied for any task actually. But we see the Uttama level of determination exhibited by Queen Kunti, especially in her devotion to Krishna, in her practice of Dharma. The determination, somebody can be determined even for doing some wrong activity. But Queen Kunti showed her topmost class of determination in her practice of Dharma and devotion to Krishna. So, we see Srimad Bhagavatam being a scripture which exclusively focuses on the Bhagavata Dharma, devotion to Krishna. So, in these prayers, Bhagavatam highlights the devotion of Queen Kunti. But we can see the different other aspects of the personality of Queen Kunti when we see her complete life in the Mahabharata. For example, when we see Queen Kunti as a mother, in the Ekachakra episode, when there was a demon Bakasura, the Pandavas were staying in the house of a Brahmana. From that village, in every week or regularly, one family has to take a huge quantity of foodstuff. The demon will eat that foodstuff and also the person who is bringing that foodstuffs. The turn came for that Brahmana's family. When Queen Kunti came to know about the difficulties which the Brahmana, their hosts were going through, Kunti assured them, don't worry, I have 5 sons and I will send one of my sons. But those Brahmana, that Brahmanas, although he was going through such great difficulty, he said, I can never allow this because you are a guest in my home and moreover you are all Brahmanas. The Pandavas were in the dress of a Brahmanas at that time. So I can never allow to sacrifice my guest and a Brahmana for my own protection. But then Queen Kunti said, no, my son is not going to be sacrificed in the hand of the demon. In fact, he will kill the demon and come back. Because I have the confidence in my son Bhima, and he will very easily kill the demon. He had actually killed demons like Hidimba. So here we see Queen Kunti as a mother, she had great confidence in the ability of her son Bhima. So generally, as parents, when they when they tried to protect the children, in giving security and protection to the children, we tend to be overprotective, and then we may not allow the child to grow. And we may not allow the child to actually take some risk. And because of that, we may not have that confidence in that child's ability to face the challenges. But here, Queen Kunti, she had her affection towards Bhima, but at the same time she had confidence in Bhima's ability. And in fact, when Yudhishthir comes to know that Kunti had sent Bhima, and Yudhishthir actually becomes upset. Yudhishthir says that, how can you send Bhima to this demon Bakasura? Bhima is going to be one of our great strength in our future battles. How did he make this decision? And Kunti says that, I did not make this decision emotionally. I knew the capacity of Bhima and have seen his strength. I have full confidence in Bhima. So Yudhishthir was reluctant, but Kunti actually said that, I did not take the decision emotionally. I had full confidence in Bhima. So generally, when women take up as a leadership role, or when they become empowered, many times they lose their feminine side of a personality. Or sometimes when the women become more emotional, they lose the ability to take decisions. But in the personality of Queen Kunti, we see her feminine side, her affection towards the Pandavas, Draupadi. At the same time, we can see her decision-making ability. There is a blend of feminine side as well as the masculine side. So therefore, we see our scriptures are filled with such personalities that we can take inspiration from. Some people say, oh, Sanatana Dharma, oh, this actually suppresses the growth of different people, suppresses the growth of the, say, women or females. But here we see Queen Kunti had a great decision-making ability. At the same time, she had great affection for the children. And when Pandu Maharaj actually died, at that time, Madhuri told Kunti that, I want to enter Sati. Because committing Sati, entering the fire, is easier for me than remaining alive and taking care of the children. And entering fire is easier for me than taking care of my 5 children, because I will not be able to undergo the struggle of taking care of 5 children in the absence of the husband. And even if I am able to tolerate those struggles, but I will not be able to remain impartial. I will not be able to give equal affection to your children as well as my children. You have the capacity to tolerate the difficulties, and you also have the great emotional strength to treat all the 5 children equally. Therefore, you must live. I shall become Sati. So here we see, in the Sanatana Dharma, even a husband dies, previously the custom was there, where a woman voluntarily would actually enter Sati. It was never forced upon people. So Madhuri, she performed Sati out of her own desire. That courage is appreciated. But more than that, Kunti's choice to struggle against the difficulties by remaining alive, that should be appreciated even more compared to the sacrifice performed by Madhuri. So, here you can see another quality of Kunti. And if we compare, say, Kunti with Kaushalya, Kaushalya, her son, Lord Rama, also had to go to the forest. And Kunti's sons also went to the forest. But in the case of Kaushalya, although Ram and Lakshman went to the forest, Bharat and Shatrughna remained in Ayodhya. And Kaushalya could see that Bharat had a quality similar to Lord Ram. And Shatrughna had a quality similar to Lakshman. So she found solace in the personality of Bharat and Shatrughna. And moreover, she stayed in Ayodhya. But in the case of Queen Kunti, the Pandavas went to the forest. She stayed in Hastinapur, but she couldn't find solace in the personalities of the Kauravas. She couldn't say that, although my five sons have passed, gone to the forest, 100 sons are there, so I am satisfied to be there with the 100 other sons. No, those 100 sons were very cruel. And she was actually staying in Hastinapur, where these 100 sons were constantly burning with envy towards the Pandavas. In one sense, she was like she was staying in a Ravana's Lanka, because the kingdom was ruled by the Kauravas. So in that way, if we see compare Kunti with Kaushalya, the patience exhibited by Kunti was much higher than the Kaushalya's actually patience and difficulties. And when we compare Kunti with Gandhari, Gandhari also went through so many difficulties during her life, and she also had to lose all her 100 sons. And Kunti also went through so many difficulties. But in the case of Gandhari, ultimately she actually cursed Krishna. At the end, Gandhari, Vyasadeva says that I am writing the Mahabharata to glorify the Dharma Shilata of Gandhari. So Gandhari was definitely faithful to Dharma throughout her life. But at the end, she actually cursed Krishna. Like just imagine, suppose somebody has been making a huge quantity of, sweet rice or a basandi, condensing the milk for hours together, 5 hours, 6 hours. But at the end, that sweet rice part gets toppled and the entire sweet rice mixes with the ground in the sand. So the whole effort becomes wasted actually. So Gandhari at the end, she cursed Krishna. But Kunti also went through so many difficulties throughout her life, much more than Gandhari. But at the conclusion, she is calling Krishna as Madhupati. That was Twayi me ananya vishaya matir madhupate sakrit ratim udvahatad adda gange vaugam udanvati. So she is calling Krishna as Madhupati, as a master of sweetness, after going through a life filled with bitterness. So that is the difference between Kunti and Gandhari. And like another instance from the Mahabharata, from Kunti's life. So this is from the instance when Krishna comes as a peace messenger, and he comes to the assembly of Hastinapur, and then his peace mission fails actually, and then when the Duryodhana and the Kauravas, when they reject the peace proposal of Krishna, and then Krishna is about to return to Virata Desh. So before leaving, he comes to meet Kunti. He meets Kunti also when he first enters Hastinapur. But after the peace mission fails, Then he comes to meet Kunti, and there is a conversation between Kunti and Krishna there. And Kunti says, Kunti is telling to Krishna to give a message to Yudhishthir. She says that being a Kshatriya, Yudhishthir should not be talking about peace. He should be talking about war. For protecting others, our ancestors have never backed out of war. And Yudhishthir has a great desire for peace, but being a Kshatriya, it is his responsibility to protect others. And then Kunti tells a story of a lady called as Vidula. In a village, there was a lady called as, a widow called as Vidula. She was a Kshatrani and a widow, and her husband was killed in the battle. And her son gets defeated in the battle, and then he comes back home. And then that her son was thinking that, oh, my mother will show a great affection upon me because I have come back alive. But Vidula tells her son, what are you doing here? If you want to stay here like a eunuch, it would have been better that you are not born from my womb only. You should stand up again and fight again. If a piece of wood produces a fire for a few moments, that is better. You should be prepared to undergo a martyr's death. And seeing you in a fearful condition, I think that you have not taken birth from my womb. And then the son says that, oh mother, why are you speaking such a hard-hearted woman? You are sending me to the battlefield. What will happen if I die? Are you not concerned about my welfare? And then Vidula says that, actually, one who shows compassion in a wrong way or to the wrong person, and one who is a coward and one who is lethargic, such a person never makes progress. You should definitely go to the battlefield. Even if you are killed in the battle, it will be befitting our family tradition. And this is what I consider as a welfare. This is what I see as your welfare, actually. And then Kunti tells Krishna, you also give this message to Yudhishthir. Kunti is giving all this message to Krishna to tell Krishna, and she is telling Krishna that you give this, tell this message to Yudhishthir. And she says that once Kuvera told Muchukunda that I will return your kingdom. And Muchukunda said that I don't want the kingdom just like that. I shall attain it by my own capability. Kunti told. So Yudhishthir should not shy away in actually fighting the battle and getting the kingdom. So if we contrast this episode in the Mahabharata where Kunti is speaking to Krishna and the prayers of Queen Kunti in the Bhagavatam. So in the Bhagavatam we see the Kunti's deep devotion here. But at the same time we see in that this episode in the Mahabharata where Kunti is speaking to Krishna, Kunti is telling Yudhishthir to put his purushartha fully and fight with great courage as a Kshatriya, and boldly fight the battle. So we see that Kunti is trying to inspire Yudhishthir the fighting spirit. So we see in the personality of Kunti her devotion, and also Kunti as a Kshatrani inspiring Yudhishthir to fight in the battle. So therefore, when we study a personality, we should study the all aspects of a personality. If we speak only about Kunti's devotion, if we don't speak about this aspect of Kunti trying to inspire Yudhishthir to fight, then we will make only eunuch-like devotees. If we speak only about Venudari Krishna and not about the Chakradari Krishna, we will create only eunuch-like devotees who don't have any fighting spirit, actually. We hear about Parishit Maharaj's perseverance. తిరస్కృత విప్రలబ్ధ శప్తాక్షిప్త హతావపి నాస్య తత్ ప్రతికూర్వంతి దత్భక్త ప్రభవోపిహి. అవు పరిషిత్ మహారాజ్ టాలరేటెడ్ ద కర్స్ ఆఫ్ శృంగి, ఆల్దో శృంగి యాక్చువల్లీ కర్స్ హిమ్ టు డై విద్ ఇన్ 7 డేస్. బట్ ద సేమ్ పరిషిత్ మహారాజ్ హౌ హీ వాంటెడ్ టు గివ్ పనిష్మెంట్ టు కలి, అండ్ ద సేమ్ పరిషిత్ మహారాజ్ హౌ హీ రూల్డ్ ద కింగ్డమ్. So that aspect of the personality also have to be spoken about. So then we actually give a overall education to a people actually. We hear in the Bhagavatam, we hear about Prahlad Maharaj's deep devotion. How as a child he was not interested in the play. Nyashta kridanako balo jadavattan manastaya krishna graha grihitatma naveda jagadidrisham. Like he didn't even know how the world is functioning. And he was completely captured by the Krishna Graha. So, we see this deep devotional qualities of Prahlad Maharaj. But at the same time, Bhagavatam mentions that Prahlad Maharaj ruled for one Manvantara, 71 Divya Yugas. To rule as a Kshatriya, you have to fight against the opposing parties. You have to show fighting spirit, you have to show wisdom, and you have to be expert in the Rajaniti, everything. So therefore, so we have to see the overall aspect of the personality. So the same Queen Kunti who is offering these prayers, the same Queen Kunti is actually inspiring that fighting spirit in the Yudhishthira Maharaj. So similarly, we see Srila Prabhupada, who spoke those series of classes on the Queen Kunti's prayers, the Bhagavata Dharma discourses, the same Prabhupada, how he exhibited that fighting spirit during the Juhu land episode, when ISKCON was hardly grown, when there was hardly any, when few disciples and few supporters were there, what kind of fighting spirit he showed. And when there was a court case against ISKCON from the external forces, how he showed fighting, how he inspired that fighting spirit in the disciples. You present each and every verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam in the court. Let the court case go on for years together. Let them hear each and every purport from the Bhagavatam. And in that way you prove that our movement is not a simply cultist movement. So therefore, we have to see the fighting spirit of the founder Acharya. And if we accept Prabhupada as the founder Acharya, but when we don't exhibit that fighting spirit against external forces, that means we are eunuch followers of a founder Acharya. So therefore, we see this fighting spirit of Kunti also. And talking about like this verse is about Queen Kunti is actually speaking about Krishna's protection. So when we talk about Krishna's protection, so quantitatively speaking, to achieve success, we have to stake a lot by virtue of our endeavors in comparison to Krishna's grace. So quantitatively speaking, every person has to put great endeavor. But qualitatively speaking, the grace of Krishna, it far outweighs our endeavors. So, the living entity's effort is 99%, but Krishna's grace is 1%. But the actual impact of that effort, of that outcome, we may put 99% effort, but the actual impact of that 99% of our effort is only 1%. But that actual impact of that 1% of Krishna's mercy is actually 99%. Because although a devotee puts great effort, but at the end he only thinks that I could achieve only by Krishna's mercy. He doesn't take credit for the effort which he puts. For example, if you see the Bali Maharaj's episode, Bali Maharaj performed one of the most difficult processes of bhakti, that is Atma Nivedanam. But still, Vamanadev bound Bali Maharaj with the Varuna Pasha. And Lord Brahma is telling to Vamanadev, like this Bali Maharaj has offered all the water, all the leaves, and all the flowers, and all the fruits in the entire universe to you. And you have told in the Gita, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prayachati. If a person offers one leaf, one water with love and devotion, then you will accept it. But Bali Maharaj has offered everything in the entire world, but you have actually bound him in the Varuna Pasha. So, Brahmaji is speaking from the, he's seeing an objective reality that Bali Maharaj has performed Atma Nivedanam, but the reciprocation shown by Vamanadev is completely disproportionate. He has bound him with the Varuna Pasha. But what is the reality from the point of view of Bali Maharaj? Aho pranamaya krita samudyama prapanna bhaktartha vidau samahita yallokapalai swadanugraho marair alabda purvo apasade surair pita. Bali Maharaj says that the only thing I performed is that I offered obeisances to Vamanadev in my mind when Vamanadev entered the sacrificial arena. But in return for that, the reciprocation shown by Vamanadev is completely mind-boggling. He has actually given the Sutala Loka. He has agreed to become the doorkeeper of my Sutala Loka. The great devatas who perform such a regulative practice of bhakti, even they have not achieved such a reciprocation. So from the subjective reality from the heart of Bali Maharaj is that my effort is minuscule. I have performed a very insignificant effort, but Krishna's reciprocation is completely disproportionate to according to from my effort, from the point of view of my effort. But Brahmaji is seeing an objective reality. Bali Maharaj has performed the Atma Nivedana, but Vamanadeva is not reciprocated. So therefore, when we talk about Krishna's protection, the devotee actually puts his complete effort, but at the end he gets the realization, actually I am not the doer, only Krishna is the doer. Like for example, like after Krishna's disappearance, when Arjuna is remembering all the incidents, Arjuna says that yad dosu ma pranihitam guru bhishma karna naptr trigartha shalya saindava bakhlikadyai astrani amoga mahimani nirupitani nopas prushur nihari asam ivasurani. So Arjuna says that because I was in the shelter of his arms, the weapons of unfailing power released by Drona, Bhishma, Karna, Bhurishrava, Jayadrata, Bhaklika and others did not touch me, just as the weapons of the demons did not touch Prahlad. So here Arjuna is giving us some comparison. Just like the weapons of Hiranyakashipu did not touch Prahlad, similarly, the weapons released by all these warriors in the battlefield did not touch me because I was in the shelter of Krishna's arms. So, but if you see this comparison, in the case of Prahlad Maharaj did not actually take up weapon to counterattack the weapons released by Hiranyakashipu. When Hiranyakashipu tried to kill Prahlad Maharaj did not put any effort from his side. But in the case, in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Arjuna was like fighting from morning to evening, so busy fighting with so many arrows, all these people. He put great effort on an external physical level. Prahlad Maharaj, he would just fold his hands and he would just pray to Vishnu. But Arjuna is saying that just like Lord protected Prahlad, similarly Krishna protected me. So usually when you give a comparison, the comparison should have the common factors. But here in one sense the common factor is missing. Prahlad actually did not put any effort from his side, but Arjuna was putting effort from morning to evening fighting with the arrows. The common factor in one sense it is missing here, but still Arjuna is giving that same comparison. That means from the consciousness of Arjuna's point of view, he is not calculating the effort which he put. He is only seeing the protection given by Krishna. So because all these incidents which Kunti is quoting in this episode, and in all these episodes, the Pandavas put great effort. But still in their heart of heart, they could only see that only Krishna protected us. So therefore, we see in the Pandavas three qualities. They always had a grateful heart depending on Krishna. And they had a visionary mind. They were actually putting different strategies to tackle the different situations. And they had an action-oriented senses to implement that vision. So, we see all these qualities in Pandavas. Because only when you put complete effort, use your intelligence given by Krishna, and then when you still feel helpless, and then when you depend on Krishna, then that protection of Krishna, that Krishna protected us, that realization goes deep into the heart. So therefore, we see in the Pandavas that they always remained faithful on Krishna, which was backed by the proper understanding. And the Pandavas, their expectations were backed with the proper efforts on the part of them. They applied appropriate strategy and they corrected the wrong strategies and they learned to evolve. They were always learning to evolve by making changes and they were collecting the right resources to fight against the enemies. And in all those setbacks, they always remained united and they sought guidance from different people. From the elders like Kunti, Vidura, Vyasadev, Draupadi, the sages, and from Krishna. So after doing all these things, taking guidance, putting effort, using their intelligence, using the strategy, what they say is that we are protected simply by Krishna. They didn't take any credit for all these efforts which they put, all the intelligence which they used. So this shows actually the deep character of the devotees like Kunti and the Pandavas. Let us see few incidents, like the many incidents of how Krishna protected the Pandavas. I'll just mention few incidents how Krishna protected the Pandavas. See, for example, simply by bringing Draupadi in the lives of the Pandavas, Krishna protected the Pandavas. When Draupadi came into the lives of the Pandavas, Pandavas' lives became more action-packed. And so many events came into their life and Krishna protected them by bringing Draupadi. And even when the Pandavas were there in the forest, they lost their kingdom. They didn't have a kingdom to rule as a Kshatriya. But even in the forest, they never forgot their Swadharma as a Kshatriya. Whenever some Brahmana was in difficulty because some cows were stolen by some thieves, immediately Arjuna, although his weapons were there in the room where Yudhishthir was staying, but still, although they had made a rule that when Yudhishthir is alone with Draupadi, nobody would enter that room. But Arjuna entered that room, got the weapons to protect the Brahmana's cows. So Krishna protected the Pandavas in their truthfulness to their vows, their Swadharma. And Krishna gave them confidence to follow their path. When in the Kandavaprastha episode, Indra asked Krishna, I want to give a benediction to you. And Krishna said that I just want, please give me the benediction that let my friendship with Arjuna remain forever. So this feeling of being loved by Krishna is the greatest protection the Pandavas could feel, that the Lord himself was asking for such a benediction. And Krishna protected Yudhishthir by inspiring Yudhishthir to perform the Rajasya sacrifice, by fortifying his confidence to fulfill his father's desire. Krishna inspired Yudhishthir to perform the Rajasya sacrifice and removed the obstacles created by the Jarasandha. And also Krishna protected Yudhishthir by giving him a platform for glorifying him in the Agra Puja ceremony. And in the Asat Sabha, Krishna protected Draupadi's dignity and chastity and shyness. And Kauravas were expecting that the Pandavas would lose their confidence after this incident. But Krishna protected the confidence of the Pandavas even after that incident in the Asat Sabha. And the Kauravas were expecting that Pandavas would become disunited. But Krishna protected the unity of the Pandavas. They became even more united after the incidents for the sake of actually Draupadi. And once Krishna met the Pandavas in the Prabhasa Kshetra during their Vanavas, at that time, Krishna told Yudhishthir that you don't have to complete the entire period of Vanavas. You just go and fight against the Kauravas and get your kingdom. Krishna provoked Yudhishthir and told him not to complete that Vanavas. But Yudhishthir, he could have told, oh, Krishna is our master, he is our authority, oh, he is telling me to do that. So he could have actually accepted that proposal and he could have actually left the forest. But Yudhishthir Maharaj spontaneously rejected the proposal and he was determined to honor the word without Krishna's help. So we've seen the quality of the Pandavas. An unallied devotee is certainly eager for Krishna's protection, but not at the cost of breaking the principles of Dharma. And the devotee, being fixed in his vows, he strives to protect the Lord from being perceived as being unreasonably partial to his devotees. Like, devotee tries to protect Krishna by being faithful to his vows, and in that way he wants to protect the Lord from being unreasonably partial to his devotees. So Yudhishthir says, no, I don't want to follow this. I will complete the entire 14 years and I will honor that word. In that way, so many incidents, like another incident in the battlefield, and when Yudhishthir was fighting against Karna, Yudhishthir got injured. And Yudhishthir came back to the tent. At that time, Arjuna became concerned. And Arjuna came to find out what happened to Yudhishthir. And Yudhishthir thought that Arjuna must have defeated Karna and come. But when he came to know that Arjuna had not defeated Karna, and Yudhishthir becomes so angry and he speaks very strong words against Arjuna. Like, what is the use of your Gandiva bow? You only speak empty words. Yeah, I thought you must have defeated Karna and come, but you are not defeated Karna. Like you are a coward. You better give up this Gandiva bow. All your vows which you have taken, they are all empty words. And in this way, he spoke these strong words, and Arjuna became so angry, and he was about to actually attack Yudhishthir. And Krishna sees that, like, what happened to you? Like, how can you actually attack Yudhishthir? He is your elder brother. Have you not served your elders that you are about to actually, you are about to attack Yudhishthir? And Arjuna says, I had taken a vow that whoever tells me to actually reject my Gandiva bow, I have taken a vow to kill that person. So So therefore, my brother Yudhishthira is telling me to reject the Gandiva book. So I have to fulfill my vow. But at the same time, I cannot attack my elder brother, but still I have taken this vow. And then of course, Krishna gives a detailed story. He says that you cannot simply be adamant, stubborn on your truthfulness. Truthfulness is not simply about actually speaking the truth, it is also about the impact of the truth. The impact of the truthful words, is it creating benefit to the society? Well, simply for your maintaining your truthful words, how can you attack your brother Yudhishthira? And then he tells Arjuna, but killing a person is equivalent to, if you try to insult a person, that insult to a Kshatriya is as good as killing a Kshatriya. So you can fulfill the vow by insulting Yudhishthira. Then Arjuna actually insults Yudhishthira. But after insulting Yudhishthira, Arjuna feels that, oh, I have committed such a mistake, I have insulted my elder brother, so I want to commit suicide now. Then Krishna says, just imagine, simply to, because you insulted Yudhishthira, you are feeling so bad that you want to commit suicide. What would have happened, like, if you had actually killed Yudhishthira, like, what you would have felt in your heart, how much more remorseful you would have been. And then he tells how suicide is such a cowardly act, how suicide is such a sinful act. Then Krishna says that, oh, you can commit suicide by glorifying yourself, because self-glorification is equivalent to committing suicide. Then Arjuna glorifies himself, and then in that way he commits suicide. And then Yudhishthira Maharaj becomes remorseful. He says, I am such a low person, so I am not fit to be the king. So I don't want to fight the battle. Bhima is the right person for being the king. Let Bhima become the king. And Yudhishthira exhibits his vairagya. And he is about to give up the weapons. So at that time, Krishna actually bows down to Yudhishthira. Krishna and Arjuna, they grab the feet of Yudhishthira and they bow down to Yudhishthira. And they beg forgiveness, and then they plead with Yudhishthira. They pacify Yudhishthira. No, you see, Arjuna had taken this vow, therefore he had to do like that. And you have to actually fight the battle. You should, Arjuna can definitely kill Karna. And you are the right person for being the king. Arjuna pacifies Yudhishthira. So in this episode, if we see how Arjuna protected, Krishna protected the Pandavas. So Krishna protected Arjuna from the sin of killing his brother and from the ghastly act of committing suicide. And Krishna protected Arjuna from not fulfilling his vow. Krishna protected Arjuna by proposing the best possible alternative of condemning his elder brother. And Krishna protected Yudhishthira from his vairagya by falling at his feet. And Krishna protected both the brothers by making them understand the subtle aspect of dharma. So in this way, Krishna protected the Pandavas in so many ways. And in the case of Abhimanyu's episode, like, Abhimanyu entered the Chakravyuha and he put his full effort in fighting against the Kauravas. But he didn't receive the support which he expected from the Pandavas, because the Chakravyuha got closed and the Pandavas could not enter. So Abhimanyu did not complain for the lack of support which he did not receive. And Abhimanyu did not blame Krishna for not protecting him. And he put his full effort to fight against the Kauravas. And this attitude of Abhimanyu is Krishna's way of protecting Abhimanyu. So this attitude of Abhimanyu, that Abhimanyu, how he did not actually blame Krishna, he did not complain about the Pandavas, that attitude of Abhimanyu is the way Krishna protected Abhimanyu. So therefore, Krishna's protection is actually comes in so many different ways. It is not because we identify ourselves with the body We think of Krishna's protection only in terms of our physical protection of the body. So Krishna's protection is Krishna protecting a devotee's faith, a devotee's vows, in this way Krishna protected the Pandavas in so many ways. So lastly, when we talk about the Krishna's protection, we can classify broadly in two different ways. We can experience Krishna's protection by following the system established by Krishna, that is the Varnashram Dharma. By following the system established by Krishna, Varnashram Dharma, to the best of our ability, we can experience Krishna's protection on a physical level. And by following the process of bhakti, and in that way taking shelter of the person Krishna, we can experience Krishna's protection on the spiritual level. So therefore, both these aspects of protection are talked about in the Bhagavatam. Like for example, when a Prachina Parishad, when he desired to retire and leave the kingdom, and the Prachetas had not returned to the king, had not returned, and Prachina Parishad left a message with the ministers that when the Prachetas come, give them this message, how they should actually protect the kingdom. And in that purport, Prabhupada says that according to Viraraga Acharya, such protection means organizing the citizens according to the Varnashram system. It was the responsibility of the royal order to see that the citizens were following the regulative principles of the Varnashram. So therefore, in one sense, when people are engaged according to their duties in the Varnashram, that is a way of protecting them on a physical level. At the same time, protection on a spiritual level is taking shelter of the person Krishna by following the 9 processes of bhakti. And that is what Prahlad Maharaj says, that Balasya Neha Sharanam Pitarau Narsingha Nartasya Chagada Mudanvati Majjato Nau Taptasya Tat Pratividir Ya Ihan Jeshtas Tavat Vibho Tanubrutam Tad Upekshitanam. He says that even somebody may be going in a well-constructed best of the boats, but still we see that sometimes the boat actually drowns. Somebody may be born in a rich family, but still sometimes he is left forlorn by the parents. He has to struggle. So therefore, Prahlad Maharaj says that the real protector is Krishna, and his protection we can experience with the process of bhakti, and we can also experience Krishna's protection by following the system given by Krishna, that is the system of Varnashram Dharma. So what I discussed in summary, we discussed about some aspects of Queen Kunti from the Mahabharata. We discussed how Queen Kunti's prayers in the Bhagavatam are like a sweet rice, and the process involved in making that sweet rice is like the entire life of Queen Kunti, which we see in the Mahabharata. And then we discussed about how the different ways by which Krishna protected the Pandavas. And we also discussed experiencing Krishna's protection by Varnashram Dharma as well as by following the process of bhakti. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jaya. Hare Krishna.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram.